I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the book of the prophet Ezekiel and chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The subject before us this evening is the pleasure of the Lord. Now, when we care for someone in a deep and meaningful manner, we seek to know what gives them pleasure. So, for example, if your wife or your friend likes flowers, or you'll take them to a garden or a garden centre, or if they like scenery, you will take them head off perhaps to Wales or Scotland or the Lake District or the Peak District or something like that. You'll realise that there is something they really appreciate. If they like classical music, you will make an effort to purchase, say, a CD or something, and knowing it gives pleasure. Part of developing a relationship means taking time out to consider what your friend or your spouse really likes. So how much more then should we consider what gives the Lord pleasure? If we really seek a relationship with God, if we are really seeking Him, and if God is stirring our soul and we want to know the Lord, then we really need to find out for ourselves, well, what gives the Lord pleasure? And this evening we will look at some scripture that relates specifically to the pleasure of the Lord. And here we read that the Lord takes pleasure in saving sinners. It actually gives God pleasure that sinners are saved from hell, that sinners are forgiven, that sinners are cleansed, that sinners are made right with God, that sinners have a right relationship with Him. And so the Lord says, say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, I want just to explain this verse in its context. The Jews had already experienced some of the awesome and terrible judgment of God upon their land. Jerusalem had been captured. Most of the inhabitants of the land had been taken captive into Babylon. The warnings of the faithful prophets had eventually come to pass in the perfect timing of God. The nation had sown the wind of idolatry, and they'd reaped the whirlwind of just judgment. And one would have thought that God would have finished with such a people. Have no more time for them. I warned them. I kept on sending ministers to them to warn them. They took no notice. They said, we don't want this message of warning. We want to have messages of peace. We want messages that are comforting for us. We want messages that big us up. We want messages that do not challenge us. We don't want this message of warning. And you would have thought that having sent so many servants to this people, and they having killed a lot of his prophets, and they'd been given so many opportunities to repent and to turn from their sin to the living God, and yet they'd rejected the long-suffering mercy of the Lord. You'd have thought the Lord would have no more time for them. But here we have the Lord coming again to this undeserving people through his prophet Ezekiel, coming again with an offer of grace and mercy. And we understand here then, grace and mercy pleases God. God delights in mercy. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so here there was a remnant of people remaining in the land, and they have a further opportunity to repent. And in addition, those taken captive could reflect on the solemn judgments of the Lord and turn to Him. So what great love is shown here by the Lord. How wonderfully He reveals what gives Him greatest pleasure. What inspiration there is here to share the gospel. Because the gospel is the heart of God. And we can tell people, oh, God is so concerned for your eternal state. He warns you, and He takes no pleasure in you ending your life and then going to an eternity in hell. This gives God no pleasure whatsoever. He says, I have no pleasure, absolutely no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way, repent and turn to the Lord. So we have this remarkable statement revealing the heart of God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in judgment. Then to counteract this solemn statement and show what gives Him pleasure, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, I have pleasure in repentance. I have pleasure in showing mercy. I have pleasure in bestowing grace. Remember how Jesus, He tells us that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And let us pray then for the evidence of repentance in our lives and in the lives of unbelievers, that they might turn to God for no other reason than God's glory. Here is a reason to pray for repentance, because God delights in repentance. It's something that gives God pleasure. And if you want a right relationship with the Lord, you will want to do something that gives Him pleasure. You will want to pray for something that pleases God, that gives Him pleasure. But then, as I mentioned before, God takes pleasure in showing mercy. That is, God takes pleasure in not bestowing on us what we deserve, which is hell and eternal punishment, and passing by our transgressions. We read in Micah 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that forgives sins, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, but delighteth in mercy. He takes pleasure in mercy. Now, in Micah's prophecy, he's devastated in his analysis of the problem that beset the nations of Judah and Israel. Inasmuch as if a prophet like Micah was assessing our nation, he would be devastated in his assessment of the way in which we've turned from God and gone in to idolatry. But Micah was not only faithful with the problem and faithful to warn of God's impending judgment, but he was equally faithful to proclaim the remedy for those that did repent. Together with taking pleasure in repentance, as we have seen, God then undergirds this truth by taking pleasure in mercy. So he takes pleasure in repentance, and he takes pleasure in withholding his hand of judgment and passing over the transgression and retaining not his anger forever for you in hell, as you repent of your sin and you trust only in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How encouraging this is for us this evening. See, God is not a matter-of-fact, contractual, unfeeling God. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He would far rather show mercy than judgment. God is far more ready to show us mercy than we are to repent. The Lord Jesus spoke of this very fact when he entered Jerusalem to give his life on behalf of needy sinners. And he cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets that I was telling you about, these prophets that have been warning you, these prophets that have been faithful, these prophets that actually have been proclaiming my word, and you've killed them. You don't want to hear them. You've stoned them. How often would I have gathered together thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. How often I would have gathered you to me, but you would not. It greatly grieves God to send people to hell. And it gives God the greatest pleasure to send people to heaven. We spoke this morning about Stephen standing up at the right hand of God, and Stephen seeing the Jesus, the Son of God, standing at the very right hand of the Father, the throne of God, ready to receive him. The Lord takes pleasure in showing mercy. But then, the Lord takes pleasure in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. On two occasions, God the Father spoke from heaven with respect to his pleasure in his Son, Jesus Christ. The first occasion was with respect to his humility as he obeyed the will of God by baptism. And having gone through the waters of baptism, the River Jordan, God called from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we know that entered into rightly and properly and correctly as a sinner saved by grace, baptism is something which pleases the Lord. And so therefore to obey the Lord in these ordinances should be something that we desire to do as a born again Christian, because it gives God pleasure. It brings honor to his beloved Son. And then his beloved Son was baptized himself to show us the example. The first thing we hear of is that God is speaking from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The second occasion was with respect to his glory in harmony with his obedience. On the Mount, Peter, James and John Peter, James and John had gone up with the Lord Jesus up to the mountaintop. And there on the top of the mountain, he revealed to them an aspect of his glory in a transfiguration. And he was joined in fellowship by Moses and Elijah. And the subject of their conversation was his sufferings. And directly afterwards, God spoke from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And this is the record of Peter, who actually was there on that occasion. And he tells us in 2 Peter 1 verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear him. Not only then does the Lord take pleasure in the humility and the obedience of his Son, but he also takes pleasure in the preeminent perfection of his Son, Jesus Christ. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For it pleased the Father," we read, "that in him should all fullness dwell." All fullness dwell for us this evening. A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. It pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. And then the Lord, the God the Father, takes pleasure in what is accomplished through his Son. We read something very awesome in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 10. We read in respect to the forthcoming sufferings of Christ that took event on Calvary's cross. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to put him to grief. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so we see here the salvation of sinners through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is something which gives God pleasure. And that this might be accomplished through his Son Jesus Christ, the Father had to bruise his Son. We read he had to smite his Son upon Calvary's cross. His Son had to bear the punishment of our sin in our place, in our stead. As we look to him and trust in him, he has taken that burden of our sin and guilt. And it has been put upon him. And God the Father has been pleased to smite his Son instead of us, that we might through his Son be delivered. And the pleasure of God's will, the pleasure of God's love, the pleasure of God's grace, the pleasure of God's mercy shall prosper in his hand through Jesus Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise his Son instead of us. And we read that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. But then the Lord not only takes pleasure in what is accomplished through his Son, the Lord takes pleasure in his word, the word of God, the Bible. We read again in the book of the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Oh, God takes pleasure in applying his word under the power of the Holy Spirit. It shall not return unto me void. As I look down on his congregation, as God looks down on his congregation from heaven above, and he has a purpose, we trust, of sovereign grace to each one of us, and then as the word is read, as the word is preached, the Lord is pleased to prosper his word. And here we are reminded of the work of the third person of the Trinity. He has written the revelation of the word of God to this world, the Holy Spirit. And this word will not return unto the Father void. It will accomplish that which is pleasing to God. It will accomplish all it prophesied. It will accomplish conversion. It will accomplish growth in grace. It will accomplish a revelation of truth. It will accomplish glory to God. And through the word, the Holy Spirit will reveal the person of Jesus Christ to those ordained unto eternal life. Apostle Paul speaks of this when he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, it pleased God to call me by his grace. It pleased God to reveal his Son in me. It pleased God that I might preach him, Jesus Christ, among the heathen. The Lord takes pleasure in his word. He takes pleasure in the power of his word. He takes pleasure in applying his word. He takes pleasure in converting sinners through conviction and conversion and drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. But then we find out that the Lord also takes pleasure in his creation. So as we enjoy creation, we are enjoying something which God takes pleasure in. We read that God saw everything that he made, and it was very good. There was a rejoicing in heaven at such a glorious accomplishment. We read the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, we read. The angels shouted for joy. We read the Lord himself rejoice over all the works of his hands. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. And the psalmist said, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. He was pleased to create the universe, the heaven and earth. He was pleased to create this earth in a unique way. And we live in the wonder of the pleasure of God, in his common grace toward us in creation. The Lord takes pleasure in his works of creation. But then the Lord takes pleasure then in salvation. In salvation. Not only what Christ has accomplished, but actually the coming forth of salvation. He takes pleasure in fulfilling his sovereign grace in the great work of redemption. The Apostle Paul speaks to us of this. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and you will see here something which is very profound, but it speaks to us of the good pleasure of God's will, and it's all connected with the wonder of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so we see here the building of the church, the conversion of the needy sinner, is all according to the good pleasure of God's will. It has pleased the Lord, greatly pleased the Lord, to grant grace to needy sinners. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, tells them that God has called them, and he has not only called them out of darkness into light, and called them and saved them as sinners by his grace, but then they must walk to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, to walk according to his will. There's great pleasure in the great work of salvation and the ongoing following of the Lord. The Lord takes pleasure in his people proclaiming his gospel of salvation. The Apostle Paul tells us it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. It's God's good pleasure. The world looks on and they say, oh, preaching is old fashioned. That preaching nowadays is so foolish. We've got all other media communications now to reach out with the gospel. And preaching is almost died a death to some people. Well, we know through the internet it has not, in as much as millions of people listen to preaching through the internet. But there are still thousands of churches where there is preaching. And the world and those look on and think it's foolishness. How can God be pleased to work in such a way through preaching? But it is God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, friends, preaching is vital. It's something that pleases God. It's something that God is pleased to work through. But then God takes pleasure in his local church. Paul explains to the church that they are not made up of independent individuals, but they are united together. They are members of one body. They are placed in the local church according to the good pleasure of his will. But we read, now hath God set the members, each one of them in the body, even as it pleased him. When God builds a church, he builds a church according to his sovereign will, and he puts each member, he sets the members, each one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And so God, according to his sovereign will and pleasure, ensures that at any given time, according to his sovereign purposes, he has certain people in certain places for a certain time. And they are part of a body, not only the great body of the church, but they are set in a body in a local church, even as it pleased him. But then the Lord takes pleasure not only in the local church and the testimony and witness of the local church, but also in our obedience. The Apostle John tells us that we will receive answers to prayer when we walk in accordance with God's will and we bow before him and are submitting ourselves by faith to his will, to his word. And the Apostle John says, as we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What is pleasing in God's sight? Well, we know that what is pleasing in God's sight is that we repent of our sin and we turn to God. That's something pleasing to God. We know that believing in his Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is pleasing in his sight. And we know that walking in his ordinances is pleasing in God's sight. We know that walking in his word is pleasing in his sight. And so obedience is something pleasing. Obedience is not just obeying a set of rules. It's not like that at all. The Apostle Paul in his teaching always links faith and obedience together. He links these two together. As we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we obey him, it comes out of a heart of love. And as we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow him. And the Lord takes pleasure in such obedience. Are we as concerned to please God as to please those bound by natural ties? You know, when Jesus was here on earth, we read that he always did those things that pleased his Father. He always did those things that were pleasing unto his Father. He set the example. He understood that to live life here upon this earth, the best way is to walk according to the pleasure of God the Father. Now, we cannot do that perfectly, but we can, with God's help, at least walk in the right direction. We will stumble, we will fall, but at least by faith, let us be walking in the right direction. And that is why Paul speaks about faith and obedience, because if we try and obey God without looking to Jesus, we will be in a cul-de-sac. But if we look to Jesus, trust in him, and ask for the grace of God to help us, then we can obey and we can walk in his way. And when we fall, Lord Jesus will lift us up again and help us and go before us. We read in the letter to the Hebrews of a person called Enoch. And there were three words to Enoch's testimony. There were just three words. It wasn't a very long testimony, but this was Enoch's testimony. He pleased God. That was his testimony. He pleased God. What a remarkable testimony. What a remarkable inscription to have on your gravestone. He pleased God. Well, to please God, we must be walking with Jesus Christ. And Enoch walked with God. And he pleased God. But then, finally this evening, the Lord takes great pleasure in giving. God is a giving God, you know. And he's given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we through him might be forgiven. But he's not only given us his Son, he's also given us his kingdom, that we might dwell in his kingdom. The Lord Jesus tells us this. He tells us, he speaks to people who are troubled about the world, and we may be troubled about the nation this evening. We may be troubled about what way to vote. We may be troubled about the future, and we might wonder what the future holds for our grandchildren and the like, and we might be concerned. Naturally speaking. But the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In simple and profound terminology, Jesus provides the words of greatest assurance and comfort. A gift from the Father. A gift from the Father which is unbreakable, timeless, priceless, secure, eternal, infinite in riches. A gift from the Father. He'll give you the kingdom. And not only give you the kingdom, not begrudgingly, oh, here you are, but he has great pleasure in giving you the kingdom. It is God's pleasure to give of himself and his riches. The hymn writer says, "He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Fear not." Well, we have been considering what pleases the Lord. Well, it pleases the Lord that you repent of your sin and turn to the living God. It pleases the Lord to show mercy to repentant sinners. The Lord is pleased in his Son, Jesus Christ. So if the Lord is pleased in his Son, Jesus Christ, we need to know this Son. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow him and trust in him, because knowing him is everything. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the Father is pleased in what is accomplished through his Son. He's pleased to, as the God of all grace, to bestow grace upon needy sinners through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's pleased in his word. And he's pleased in his work of creation. He's pleased in the great work of salvation. He's pleased in the inheritance he graciously gives to needy sinners. So how shall we respond this evening to the pleasure of the Lord? Well, creation. Admire his handiwork this week. When you're outside and you're seeing the beautiful flowers and the beautiful scenery, don't just say, "What a lovely view." Praise God. Praise him. Earlier this week, I came into this building and I went down on my knees in front of the baptistry and I thanked God for bringing me to Ashford. I thank God. I praise God. Because I love you. I want to serve you. And I thank God. And you know, friends, We need to thank God more. And creation is marvelous. You know, in 3 days, and I'm talking practically now, in 3 days, the pods on my peas have grown from nothing to that. And they're filling out. I'm just seeing this whole row of peas in my garden just filling out. It's amazing to see it. I haven't done anything. I've just planted the seeds in the ground and I've put some sticks up to support them and I've watered them a little bit at the beginning and God's done everything. I haven't done anything really. There's so much to thank God in creation. How do we respond to the merciful salvation in Christ? We trust alone in His provision of grace. Trust in Jesus Christ. That is pleasing to the Father, that you don't reject the Son. You come to the Son. You trust in the Son. And you respect and adhere to His word. And it pleases God that we proclaim His gospel. It pleases God that we follow in His way. It pleases God that we anticipate His inheritance. Oh, may this be our ambition, to understand what pleases the Lord and live to please Him. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God, and you cannot take pleasure in God. You cannot understand what pleases God if you're determined to live in the flesh, just to live in the world as an unbeliever. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. You can only know the pleasure of the Lord, and you can really only know what pleases the Lord. You can only really know, have that increasing closer walk with God as you respect what pleases God. And you want to live in a way that pleases God, that you look to Him. Well, may this be so in our lives. And may we not despise God. May we not just treat God as though He's just of insignificance in our life. But let us value what the Lord has done and how the Lord is speaking to us. Let's turn to our hymn books. And